Guys, okay. Can we
Hello.
start by saying Caitlin Murray's with us today? We are back. And I've got to tell you how this came about. We got a new team on our podcast, and they said, and Sam will back this up, they said, give us your shoot for the stars wish list of any guest you could have. And what did I reply with? Just Caitlin.
Yeah, that
Literally,
was your top.
just you.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with you.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Oh
It
my God,
should.
there's so many better people than me.
Not really. Trust me, not really. You're the top of my list. I'm so obsessed with you because every time I rarely go on Instagram anymore. I don't know why. I just think the age of my kids, I don't have the time in the day. I'd rather
Oh,
shop than like scroll to get like a little dopamine hit if I have free time. And
yeah,
but if I
same.
see you, I'm like, I'm in. I'm in. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm psyched to be with you guys. Sorry, I'm not in California for a live recording or in person, rather.
Do you ever get out here?
Not that much. Not that much. Maybe like more like in the next couple of years or something as I start doing more stuff.
Did you
But
grow up on the East Coast?
through and through. Hardcore East Coaster, salty New Englander. I'm from
Nice.
Massachusetts, so my husband and I went to college together, and then after college moved to New York. He's from here, and then like the rest is kind of history. We dated for like 150 years, and then like finally
And
got married.
he's pretty hot.
Thank you. I agree.
We'll
I
have
mean,
to
you
show a
snagged
photo of
one.
him. What are the ages of your kids, Caitlin?
They're 10, 8, and almost 5, about to be
Oof.
5.
And what is the gender order?
It's boy, girl, boy. It's a
Nice.
pattern. It's a pattern.
Nice. A little
We're not
sandwich.
having any more, so we won't see if the pattern continues, but that's
Oh, God. God,
this will have
no.
to be enough of an indication.
Sam has three, too. I couldn't imagine doing three. I can
It's a
barely
lot.
juggle two.
It's like one more than you have hands, so it like makes it a little harder
You got to use
to
your
wrangle
one foot.
everybody. It totally does. And I remember someone telling me before I had Lola, my kids are 6 and 3, are they? Yeah. Someone told me before I had Lola, they're like, there's no difference between one and two. And then I had her and I was like, what a fucking liar. That was the worst advice anyone ever gave me. But I do believe there's no difference between two and three.
There's not as much of a difference between two and
Yeah.
three.
Oh my God. I mean, 2 to 3 almost broke me. It almost put
Really?
me in the grave. Yeah, I actually did feel like 1 to 2 was easier. 0 to 1 was like, holy shit, my life has changed
Yeah.
forever. I'm
Yeah.
never going back to who I used to be. So that was like the most jarring, right?
Yeah.
And then 1 to 2, I was like, it's already chaotic. My life has already completely changed. Why not just add a little more to the mix? And then 3, I was like, I'm so fucking tired,
Yeah.
and I just, wow, this is a whole extra human. Yeah.
I
So,
love that. Go
oh,
ahead,
go,
Kat.
Sammy. No, go ahead.
I love the post. I'm new to your feed. I'm loving it though. I'm like shocked that I'm now only discovering it now. But I'm also not like on Instagram all the time. But I love the post where you said becoming a mom is like, they're like, this is the most important job you're ever going to have. You're the CEO of this new company, but you have no experience. I was dying over that. And it was like, oh yeah, and you're not going to get paid.
Yeah, no HR. You can't go to anyone.
No days off.
No complaining. Yeah.
But you got to crush this. I'm
You're
like,
not
nothing could
gonna
be more
mess
true.
this shit up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm curious about, when your oldest son had
Yes.
childhood leukemia, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And you were pregnant when that was going on.
I got pregnant o over the course of his treatment. So when he was 3 years old and my daughter was one, he was diagnosed. And that was, obviously like a nightmare. Just a so sad, earth-shattering, life-changing experience for our family. Thank God Callum is doing great. He went through almost 3.5 years of treatment, and that was a long haul. That was like one of the biggest shocks when I found out, like after finding out that he had leukemia. It was like, okay, so what's the plan here? You know, like, how does this work? What we do is it's like 6 months of treatment type thing. And they were like, it's going to be almost 3.5 years. And I was like, what the fuck? Oh my God. You know, he's only 3 years old. He'll be doing this longer than he's even been alive.
Alive, at this point.
So the first couple of years are kind of the harder parts of the treatment protocol. So we got through that, and my husband and I just like really always wanted to have three kids. And we decided that we would just like see what would happen, see, like, you know, like not prevent it from happening. And just, I ended up getting pregnant, and Lukey came along, and Callum was still in treatment. So yeah, I then had three while he was going through the final year of his treatment.
That's impressive. Wow. I mean, and what you were working, but you stopped working, right?
I stopped working after I got, well, like after my third was born, because I had been working on a part-time basis. I mean, mm-hmm. I was working at school in development, like in advancement. And that was boring, by the way, but it was great because I had a job. I loved going to work because I was like, yeah, not at the fucking house, you know, yes, with toddlers all day long. So it was like a real great work-life balance there, working at a school, and like they were obviously incredibly understanding and wonderful when everything happened with Callum and work from home for as long as you need and this and that. But then when Callum was well enough to go back to school, so he was going to be in a kindergarten program every day, I then ended up having to quit because I was having the third child and I just like needed to be there at all times, just in case of anything. Because when you have a child who has a port, like for mm-hmm. where they get the chemo through, if they get a fever, you have to bring them immediately to the hospital. So being back in school was like increasing the likelihood of fevers. Yeah. And I just always needed to be on call. So I quit and I started Instagram.
Shit.
Do you have a writing background or like comedy, like where are you? You're so,
how'd you know you were good at it?
Yeah, you're so smart and funny and clever, and I just wonder, like, did you already know that, like, going in, that was a superpower?
No, you know, you never know any of that stuff until you try, really. I mean, I think I had this like inclination to share and write and do what I was doing, but I had no idea what it would become. So that was such a pleasant surprise to be able to do what I kind of wanted to be doing all along. I think like when I think back on my life and I was like, who am I? What am I going to do? I thought originally all I really wanted was to have a family. And mm-hmm. then, but I always felt like I had something more inside of me that I was like, I really want to be able to like share and yeah. put things out there that are in my head. And I had no idea how that would ever transpire or if it would. And so this has been a really cool, like later-ish in career path opportunity.
I mean, you were kind of meant to do it. Our podcast was supposed to be about parenting. And then I think quickly we realized we weren't that great at it. So we pivoted.
At parenting?
I mean, we're good at parenting, but there's not a lot of things about parenting I think about. Like, I was going through your podcast going, the fuck does she think of all this shit? Like, I mean, I would never wonder if my kid's bored. Like, I don't care. Like, I hope they're bored some days. Or like some of your topics where I was like, I couldn't come up with like 47 parenting topics. I really couldn't. Like, I just can't. Good. And that's, I go, you really think about it. Where I go, that's just not my wheelhouse. Isn't that awful? And I have two kids and I'm saying that?
No, I actually don't. I think it's awesome. I think it's like so freeing in the way that you should be parenting more, just like by instinct and rolling fucking punches or whatever.
No, you got to.
Overanalyzing and overthinking everything.
Yeah.
Which is what I do probably.
I don't think you do.
Why I come up with all that content.
I mean,
I don't think anyone is like a pro. I don't think anyone really totally knows what they're doing, you know? Like, I look at my mom, like, from try to put myself in her shoes. Like when she was raising us, I'm like, she had no idea what she was doing. Less than us,
no.
I think.
No.
Yeah.
I think that if you think that you know what you're doing, you're kind of sort of like a serial killer. Like,
Yeah, for sure.
You know, yes, you're pathological.
Yeah. And who would be like have the balls to say that they knew, you know, because what if it didn't turn out right?
Yeah.
But you know, their kids are secretly just like little Dahmers, you know, the ones that think. You know what I saw the other day on Instagram? It was like this woman being like, I'm going to make Rice Krispies from scratch. And I'm like, well, that's not fucking hard. Like any of us can do that. She popped the rice. I was like, well, that's a fool's errand. Just buy the damn cereal.
Isn't that chick that's always smiling while she's speaking? Is that her?
I can't tell if half these chicks, like if it's like a joke or if they really are.
I know. I don't know. I don't know you're right. It's a fool's errand. Like who has
time? I'm like, who has time for that? I just can't. But wait, my biggest question for you, why in the world did you buy a bird of all animals? Why?
Because I didn't want a dog, because you don't have to walk a bird. It just lives there and it's fairly low maintenance, but you can also like interact with it a little bit. So it's more than a fish.
I was going to say, you don't have to walk a fish.
Yeah, I had a fish. There's a whole actually fish funeral highlight, which is also pretty soon. You might take yourself through that at some point for a little giggle. But it was a mistake. I own that. We had 3 birds actually in the course of about a year. So
how'd you kill Lollipop?
We're done. Lollipop was the best bird. Lollipop was the first bird, and sadly Lollipop just kicked the bucket after about 4 weeks and without warning or any, she just started to fluff up one day, and by the end of the day, she was gone.
Huh. And then you bought another one. I mean, it is true. If you buy 2, though, they're much more quiet. My old boss used to have a bird.
They're quieter?
Yeah.
With 2?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the problem is then the older one dies, and then you're just in this vicious cycle of buying birds.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
They're supposedly much happier in pairs.
Yeah. So
can't say I'm waiting them.
I mean,
in Paris, I thought you said in Paris. I was like, me too.
Who is it? So what year did you start your podcast?
My podcast? Oh God, I don't know. Like, you mean my Instagram? Or my podcast. My podcast was like later, a couple of years after. I think I started my Instagram in like December 2018 or the beginning of 2019.
Oh, okay.
And then the podcast started a couple of years after that. And I'm actually on a podcast pause right now. I just need to break.
What is the name of your podcast?
Big Time Adulting.
Okay.
Just keeping it the same brand.
Same, obviously. And then was it every week that you were doing it?
I had started doing it every week recently, and I was doing it once every 2 weeks originally, but this is sort of boring, but like I think that you're supposed to do it really weekly if you want it to be like a real podcast or considered to be like a top podcast or anything like that. And it just, you know what, it just was like taking a little bit more time than I wanted it to out of my life right now. And I feel like I had just more important things to focus on. I'm doing a lot of shit. So it's like, that's something
lower on the list right now.
What's that?
Lower on the list.
Wait, you just came out with like a partnership. What was that? The hat and the bracelet. Who did you partner with?
Yeah, my friend, this, now that you ask, my friend Kate Kane, who I actually went to high school with, we went to boarding school. I lived across the hall from her our senior year in a dorm. And anyway, she and I have stayed connected via Instagram because she's like this fantastic jewelry designer, but she's also great about sharing like parts of her life. And she has gone through like an incredibly grueling IVF process, 9 rounds, and never thought it was going to work. And she just finally had her first baby at age 40. He's 6 months now or whatever. And it's just a great story. And she just kept sharing and just kept getting like knocked down and trying again, So happy for her. But she had asked a few months ago, she was like, do you want to collaborate on a piece of jewelry? And it's like very out of my wheelhouse to do like anything fancy or jewelry or whatever. But I thought, you know what, this is like an opportunity to do something kind of meaningful. We figured out we wanted to just use the word you and put that on a piece of jewelry. So it's on a bracelet and a hat, which is, she makes some cool stuff. The hat is like got a little like gold lettering you on like one tiny corner of it. Very chic and understated. But yeah, so it was just sort of that thing, like what moms like would ever wear the word you, you know, like to think about yourself or even women in general. I feel like women are just always putting themselves second and deferring to others. And I think it's important to just think about yourself a little bit more in this patriarchal society that we're all a part of.
I mean, it's so true, because you always have jewelry that has like your kids' names all over it and then your husband's or something like that, where I go, I've never had anything for me or with mine. Like, it wouldn't even occur to me. But that's a really good point.
Yeah, so I hope that it's meaningful for people to see it if they're wearing it, to remember that they matter.
That's awesome.
That's rad. Yeah.
Look at you carving out more time.
All the design work and stuff. It was my idea to do the word you and stuff, but she probably had to do more of the heavy lifting on that. So,
yeah.
What is her name? Where is it on her website?
Her name is Kate Kane. And so her jewelry company is K Kane Jewelry.
And the collab is on her website?
Yes. Yeah. It's K Kane by Big Time Adulting or something like that.
Amazing. Love it.
Yeah.
So what do we usually do, like a typical fire round of questions? What are you drinking? A squirt?
A polar seltzer. It's
it's like, are you drinking a Fanta or a squirt?
Fanta?
It just became more. Fanta?
Fanta?
Mango limeade with essences of fresh lime.
Look at you.
No juice, no sugar, no sugar.
Are you nanny free in your house?
I have a babysitter that comes 2 afternoons a week, which is honestly not enough. But she's been with me since I was working outside of the house when I first went on maternity leave. And she's a wonderful, wonderful person.
I figured you had a babysitter. I feel like you guys have a good balance of like date nights and stuff like that.
Yeah, we do. You know, when I try to get out, we're pretty social. I don't have like FOMO or really feel like going places that often. I'm more like a JOMO type, you know, like
JOMO. Same.
But yeah, so, but we get out quite a bit, and she's awesome. She's able to, but we also have like 3 great 14-year-olds that live on our street that just like are perfect for a Saturday night, you know.
You don't get that in LA, right, Sam?
No. Why?
Are you in the city?
No, we're in a burb. We're in the burbs. We're okay. In Westchester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just feel like LA kids are scarier.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I would never trust an LA 14-year-old. No.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe because we don't have kids that
age.
Like, I don't know.
I'm so juvenile.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know anyone that has, like, a teenage babysitter in L.A.
You have nieces who are that age or now
Me?
Older.
Oh, I trust them. They have no desire to, you know?
Yeah.
But
I didn't really like babysitting.
I never did it.
I did.
Never once.
That. Yeah.
No.
Boring.
I never had a job.
Yeah, I always had a job. I loved having a job, but I just didn't really feel like babysitting.
Oh, yeah. My first resume was, like, just my address. I didn't even have an address yet, but an address and then like special skills. It just jumped. It was like college and special skills. I always wanted a job. I tried to convince my parents to let me get a job at Lids in the mall. And my dad was like, you don't know anything about sports or hats. I was like, I know.
Are you a big hat wearer?
No. I just thought I would meet guys.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not the right type of guy you're going to meet at University Mall working at Lids until 9 p.m.
I love that your dad's like, what do you know about hats? Like, what do you need to know about hats?
Yeah, like to sell a hat.
Is there
like,
a
which
course?
One do you want? Yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, and then I was a lifeguard for a hot second. No, maybe 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then I quit because I was like, ugh. Well, I had to wear shorts and I was like, this is not what I signed up for. Like netted boy shorts. I was like, no. This is not. But yeah, never had a job.
Some attractive boys that I'm hoping to nail down for this job.
You know, that was always my goal.
What? Picking up dudes?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Boy crazy for you a little bit.
In Florida. I think in Florida, everyone's just a little nutty, you know?
Yeah.
Florida's a special breed.
That's what I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I can't vouch.
I don't think you need to. Not at this stage in life. Okay. Do you have siblings, Caitlin?
I do. I have one older brother.
You do?
He's 10 years older than me.
He's awesome. 10 years? He's
two years older.
Two.
Yeah, he's a firefighter.
Wow.
Oh, is he married with kids?
He is.
He is. Oh, yeah. So am I. I don't know why I ask.
Just like, who knows? You never know. What
you just never know. Leave your options open. I thought you were going to say 10 years. I was like, my brother's 10 years older than me.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, 2 years. Just the two of us. We're very different, but also very alike.
That's amazing. Does he live close to you?
He lives in Massachusetts, where I'm from, which is where all my family is. So we're like, you know, 3-4 hours apart.
But oh, that's not bad.
We try to do a good job of getting together. Our kids are like in the same wheelhouse, same ages, and they love to be together. So it's always great to like make time.
Yeah. Not for me.
Does your husband help a lot? Like, do you feel like he does, like does it his fair share with the kids and helping you and just in general, like as a partner? Do you feel like it's a good split?
Balanced?
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome. He's like an amazing dad and a great partner. And he's just not home a lot. So he works in finance and his hours are really long. And so he's gone in the morning before anyone's awake. And then he usually doesn't come home until it's like pretty much bedtime. So there's no like extra hands on deck from him throughout the course of the day, really. Mm-hmm. But I always like give him credit because he does, when he comes home from work, like he's never like pissy or in a bad mood. Like he always like keeps himself like up to see us and you know, jumps in and takes over where he needs to when he gets home and stuff, like to do the little guy's bedtime and that kind of thing. I mean, there were so many years when my kids were all really little and going to bed at like 7 p.m. on the dot. Mm-hmm. You know, you want them out of your hair like immediate as soon as possible. That he, you know, there would be plenty of days where he wouldn't see them at all.
Yeah,
so,
because the bedtime's earlier.
Yeah, but like as much as he can do and be involved, he is, and he's great on the weekends and stuff. It's what I mean. I talk about this a lot just because of like the mental load of motherhood and all of the things that like I'm constantly thinking of because I'm constantly the person who's there with hands on deck.
Yeah,
and then he feels, I think sometimes on a weekend, for example, where all I want is for somebody else to make decisions, where I'm like, I am so tired of making 7 zillion decisions a day about like where and when and how we're all going to eat, what time we need to be in the car and do so many, you know, things can't stop thinking about, that I think he's fairly free of, you know,
yes.
Like he doesn't actually think about that stuff the way that I do. Like the minute I wake up in the morning, I'm like mentally mapping out the day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just not part of his routine, but he sort of says like, I don't want to like fuck with like your system a lot of the time. So that's why I don't get like too handsy with making decisions about what we're going to do for the day.
Yeah.
But like, he's say if I left him alone, he would be 100% fine. Like I wouldn't hear from him. He wouldn't be calling me being like, what should I do about this or that? Like, So,
yeah, sometimes it is easier when they're like, when just one parent does, even though I sometimes get disgruntled, but at the end of the day, like if my husband was more involved or tried to be with things that are more my lane, it would be more complicated. It doesn't actually help.
Yeah. Too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing.
I love when you said on one of your posts that you didn't ever want to think about what's for dinner for a year because you just don't care anymore.
I love that.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you're going to eat at this point.
Yeah.
Because I don't
exactly
argue about it and I don't even feel like cooking it. So let's just tell me what it is and I'll whip it up.
Do your kids eat the same thing or they all like want different stuff?
I was just going to ask that. I was like, I don't think about what to feed them. I feed them the same stuff every day. And I wondered how regimented you were.
Well, that's like, so when my kids were littler, like 6 and 3, or like nobody got like, there were like a couple of years beyond that where like they have decent palates now. Like they'll eat shit that I will eat.
Yeah.
So I usually try to make one meal for the family and that's what everyone's having for dinner. So sometimes I have to like, you know, like say we're making, is this like, the most boring fucking conversation, but also what moms like to talk about. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Oh my God. But like, if I'm making like a pasta thing or whatever, maybe I'll do like zucchini noodles for my husband and I, and fucking noodles for the kids, you know? So we make little substitutions here and there to make sure everybody eats, but like same idea, but that's the stuff that I'm like so exhausted about thinking of, like I just want
always because it's just constant.
Sam, do you cook dinner?
I used to cook. I've lost the joy.
I never.
I have.
I have Jomo.
I have Jomo for cooking.
Wait, how old are your kids?
I'm like, who are they? 6, 10, and 12.
Okay, yeah. So you're even a couple years past me, so I don't know, you're gonna eat real food and good stuff or
my husband's like a total foodie, so you know they eat, we've been putting weird stuff in front of them for a long time, but they all have their little like spin on it, you know, so they all there's a few meals that I feel like they'll all eat, otherwise it's, you know, my youngest is like very anti most meats most of the time, so usually he weirdly wants like vegetables and salads and things, but yeah, otherwise I'm given into like doing different stuff for all of them and myself. Like, you know, like you're not supposed to do that. I've sort of just given up.
No, I think you're supposed to do whatever is the easiest thing for you to do. Mm-hmm.
like I'll order like 2 different Postmates, like just so they stop talking to me.
Yeah, sure.
My kids are just grounding in hot dogs.
Hot dogs, yeah. I'm not opposed.
It's so gross. It's so gross, but it's the only thing they like. Hot dogs and mac and cheese and caviar. So
wow, that's a real choice.
We supplement. Oh, he loves my oldest. Me neither, because I don't even eat seafood. So
salty.
But he'll like he loves it, and he'll just do like dollops of it if we have it. And I'm like, please.
I thought you were going to say chicken nuggets or something. I really didn't.
Just hot dogs. No chicken nuggets. Just hot dogs. Hot dogs. The kid has so many fucking hot dogs in his stomach.
You've gone from like the lowest rent thing to the highest rent thing. Hot dogs.
Yeah, totally.
Caviar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, please just don't blend the two because that will make me vomit.
So are your kids in private school or public school?
My little guy's in nursery school, so it's like a private school, but my kids go to public school in our town.
How is it? I feel like that's a different universe also over there where you are.
Yeah. So like we live in a nice, quiet suburb and they like walk to school together and it's like a half a mile from our house. And like, it's really nice that they can do that. The public school system is really good in this area. It better fucking be for the taxes that we pay. And, you know, like I always kind of feel like, I mean, my oldest was in kindergarten when the pandemic started. He had been in treatment for leukemia for 3 years basically before that. Mm. And, you know, up until second grade, it was this like really weird version of school because of, you know, the pandemic. And now he's only in the fourth grade. So he's really only had like 2 real years of like school and normal type kid interactions. And he's really bright. So I really don't give a shit about like the schooling for him as much as just like the experience of like
social,
school, social, emotional aspects mm-hmm. of school and stuff. And I think like for the most part, like that's what elementary school kind of should be, is just like a mm-hmm. get your kids feeling pretty warm and fuzzy about school. And mm-hmm. so that they're not turned off by school, you know, mm-hmm. it's just like, make sure they're okay as little people, and then like send them off into the real world after that.
Surprise. Yeah.
Ned's being like, not bullied at school, but he's being teased at school right now. And it's breaking my heart.
Why? What is he being teased about?
So I was teased about this. So I was born without me and my siblings were all born without the gland that produces enamel for your teeth. So if you see you're never going to meet anyone likely besides me that has this because it's
I
so
thought she was lying for years about this.
Yeah. No. So okay. A tooth without enamel is like really rigid and like yellow. It's not attractive looking. And so Ted, the gene was passed down to him and it's crushing me. And like kids are teasing him, being like, your teeth are dirty. You don't brush your teeth. Open your mouth. Show everyone. And I'm like, how do I get this to stop? Like, I don't want to draw more attention to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I also like want to, I've been texting his teacher about it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. another kid, I want to fucking kill him. Like, take him out by the neck.
Yeah, how bad that you've never wanted to like beat up a 6-year-old before, right?
Yeah, and I get that like 6-year-olds, like, I know. Like, I get that 6-year-olds tease each other, but I'm also like, I mean, it's so minor of a genetic, like, you know, but I'm like, any other genetic, like, you know, abnormality in a kid, it would not be kosher to tease them, you know?
Yeah.
So like, he breaks my heart. So I took him to Target to be like, let's just go buy toys. Like, you need a good dopamine hit, you know, like, let's forget about this. And all he wanted to do, he couldn't find anything. He's like, can we just shop for toothbrushes? And I'm like, I'm like, you're never going to brush it off, bud.
So what is the, like, is it when your big teeth come in?
The baby teeth look totally normal. And then the big teeth come in and they're like, I mean, mine are all fake, not fake, but I have like cosmetic bonding on all mine. So they look normal. And I'm just like, hold off.
You probably have to have like a fully grown mouth to get that done or whatever.
I'm going to get it for him before braces. I had braces and no enamel. So I was literally like a mutant child crawling around where everyone was like, duh, her mouth's disgusting. But because I had like a Herbst appliance, full set of braces, these nasty like river teeth, you know.
That's really hard.
I know. Yeah. Especially teeth. I'm just like, ugh. And then every day he comes home and I'm like, what'd they say today? And I just want to like take the kids out and take their parents out. I'm like, how, like, what are you teaching your kids like to make fun of other kids? Like Teddy has never made fun of any kid in his class. And I'm like, how does this keep happening to him? But I also don't know how to handle it. And so I thought about going into his class and like talking to them about it to be like, you'll never meet anyone else that has this. You know what I mean? Everyone get a good look.
Was anyone born with something in this classroom? Like, does anyone who has a birthmark, who has, you know, whatever? And then, like, does anyone have any other things that they were, like, born with that they didn't have any control over or whatever? And then it's like.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going through.
Listen up, fuckers.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I find myself saying, like, nasty shit about those kids. I'm like, well, you know what's wrong with him. And I'm like, stop. What's wrong with you?
I know. It's hard to take the high road. It's really hard to take
it's
the
impossible.
High road.
When it's your kid, I get like, I turn into a beast where I'm like, it's like, well, he's struggling in school. And then I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Why did I say that about that little kid?
I've stooped to that level too. I'll be like, I don't like that little boy either. He's like, whatever. And then it's come back to haunt me. Because
oh really?
Yeah, I learned quickly with Luca, my oldest. He then told the little boy what I had said, and then the little boy told his mom, and the mom came to me. I'm like, fuck! I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm so sorry. I don't know why that would be. Why? Yeah, I fully denied.
Kids are crazy.
But also, like, yeah, that's not what you want to teach them either, is to, like, you know, then come for someone if they're coming for them. But that was my initial reaction as well, Kotz. I'm like,
I know. And wow. I'm trying to teach him to explain it, kind of, instead of being, because his reaction now is like, no, I brush my teeth. I promise. I brush them. They're not dirty. I brush them every day. And I'm like, stop being so defensive. Let's just explain what the situation is. And then they're going to feel like assholes, hopefully. But no luck so far.
Yeah.
More soon. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm not worried about my youngest, because she's gangster. Like, she
Does
would
she
leave
have
us
it
in a burning
too?
House.
Does she have it too? Yeah, I was going to ask that.
I
Does
can't
she have
tell.
It as well?
You can't tell because she still has her baby teeth.
Oh, mm-hmm. Until they come. Okay. All right.
And she still has a pacifier, though, so her teeth are, like, sticking straight out.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I've been there with other things, and I've just, like, my oldest has had some, like, real moments of being left out of a crew of people and stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
And like, you know what? That kid's a punk, and he's going to be asking you for a job one day.
Yeah.
Isn't that the ultimate revenge right there?
That's
Ted's
motivating,
going through
actually.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if anyone's going to be asking Ted for a job, but you can hope.
He's going to peak in Kinder. This is the coolest he's ever going to be.
Exactly. Wait, there was one other thing I really wanted to ask you. Is there anything you're really rigid on? You seem so laid back, but I'm like, parenting-wise, if you're juggling three kids, you don't have a nanny, is there anything, like, that's non-negotiable? You know what I mean? Like, kids have to sleep in their beds, or, you know. Is there anything parent-wise?
Actually. I actually am a pretty strict mom. Like, I have, my kids know that I don't fuck around. Like, when I say what's happening, or if, like, I threaten that I'm going to do something, I 100% follow through with it every time. So I am, like, a scheduled person. Like, this is what time we're doing this. This is what time we're doing that. I need routine. I think kids thrive in routine. So anyway, or my kids do.
I think everyone needs routine, but I didn't have routine. You don't strike me as laid back. I think you're like, I feel like you would be on it for whatever reason. That's the vibe I get from you. But I had no structure as a child. And I think that's so important for everyone. But I don't know, I just find it really extra hard for me to implement, discipline, I think, and structure. And I sort of attribute it to my upbringing. But I wonder, for you, were your parents structured with you? I mean, I know you said you went to boarding school, which I'm sure helped with that sort of, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, my parents are great. My like, a very, like, normal-ish childhood, structure, love, whatever. I think that for me, in order to feel like I'm an anxious person. So, like, if I feel like I don't know what's going on, or things are, like, kind of all over the map, that I'm like, I gotta get some, restore order here, restore some control to the situation. So like, having kids was like, all right, this is fucking chaos, you know? So let's do whatever I can to create structure within this chaos. Like, even when when my son was home and sick all the time, we couldn't go anywhere. I was, like, basically a preschool teacher, which is, like, the last job on earth that I would ever try to get. Like, to structure a day, like, around activities and stuff. And there's so much, like, I couldn't do. Like, I'm not a crafty mom. I'm not, like, that fun, like, oh, let's, like, I don't know. I hate imaginary play, like, things like that.
So it would be like, it's the fucking worst.
Yeah, it's, like, it's breakfast time followed by some downtime where you guys can, like, watch a show. And I can, like, drink a cup of coffee. And then it's a walk, and then we're going to come back and maybe play in the basement, and then it's lunch, and then it's a nap, and then it's just like to know what was happening. And so it would be like, it's time for this, it's time for that. And we just sort of keep, we kind of keep doing that. I think my kids are like definitely a little bit afraid of me.
I love that. I wish my kids were scared of me.
I don't know. I mean, I hope that I'm not creating like anxious little people pleasers though also.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think there's some comfort in just knowing that you're a rock and consistent and that they have routines. Were you always anxious? Do you think that your anxiety has like increased, decreased as you've become a mom? Are you medicated? Like, will you talk about any of that?
Yeah, I'll talk about all of it. I think I was anxious always, like looking back now. I don't think that I realized that that was that feeling that I was having was just all about anxiety. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, like being more informed, realized that I was anxious, especially after Callum got sick. I became incredibly, so I think I've always actually also had health related anxiety throughout my life.
Same.
Yeah. And so
welcome to the club.
Yes, it's real. And after he got sick, I think that that's when it really worsened for me. I would just be worried about people getting sick all the time, myself getting sick, things like that. And at one point, like the year after he finished treatment, that was like the height of me feeling like completely like an anxious mess. And I was actually doing a lot of funny pandemic-related content on Instagram at that time. It was like a time that my account was getting shared around the internet a lot. But but to answer your other questions, I'm not medicated. I went to a couple of therapists, but like never found it to be super helpful for me at that time because I wasn't in the right headspace for it. Like I'm actually hoping to go back to therapy kind of like now, because I feel like that fiery anxiety has settled a bit and I can like start from the beginning. But you know how like a therapist wants you to be like, okay, let's start from the beginning. Like, tell me about your child, tell me about this, blah, blah, blah. And I would be like, no, I need some fucking coping strategies right now. You know, like my son has cancer. Like, I don't want to talk about like, my parents right now. So I abandoned that process and I think I need to go back. But I did a lot of like soul searching, a lot of just sort of self-reflection about what makes me feel so anxious and why, and being able to like, when I start to feel it really ramp up, that like I just repeat to myself from kind of like, Caitlin, you have health anxiety. You have health anxiety. Why this is making me feel like this right now. And then movement, like I obviously do a lot of dancing and stuff. I exercise a lot to just like kind of bring my heart rate up naturally to meet the physiological heart rate that I can produce sometimes.
Yes.
I mean, you're really, honestly, that's what I did, cognitive behavioral therapy after I had Ted. I think it was postpartum. And I just wanted answers. I was like, why do I feel like this? I need someone to explain. Is it hormonal? Is it this? So I went to this cognitive behavioral therapist and they're like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know if it's hormonal. And I was like, I need you to tell me it is. He's like, does it matter? You're just having it. So I did like 4 months with him and it was fascinating. And that's exactly what he tells you to do. When your anxiety gets high, it's like a pendulum. It's like jump on a treadmill, run as fast as you can for like 3 minutes and it will swing back down to a normal rate. But there were so many things I learned from that I went, now I can talk myself off that ledge. Because my health anxiety, I'd never had a kid. You know, it was just bananas for me. I was trying to juggle work. And everything he said, he's like, I was getting anxiety, but it would spiral into a panic attack. And then I couldn't control it. And he's like, it's just a feeling. It's no different than extreme excitement. But you're just anxious. And you've got to recognize that it's just a feeling and nothing more. That's all. And it was super helpful, but you know, it was amazing that I only did it for 4 months and it's still with me. And that was 6 years ago.
Yeah. That's awesome. Sometimes you also just need somebody to like tell you, right. Yeah. That it's like, that's a feeling, not a fact. Like this isn't actually like, Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I read a lot about that stuff, and I was like, I'm just going to coach myself through this right now for the pandemic, and I don't know if I can.
But it's so funny. When I started with him, I was like, I need a mantra. I need you to give me a mantra that I can just repeat to myself. And he's like, you need to find that. I was like, no, that's not why I'm paying you. I want you to tell me like some like inspirational deep shit that you learned in medical school that I can repeat to myself and it all goes away.
And he's like,
he was like, fuck it. I was like, okay, I'll work with that. I'll work with that.
Like you have to remind yourself that you're safe, but I do. I have like this impending sense of doom, like so often. And I'm like, what the, like, where is that coming from? Like, why do I think something's like some sinister force is like out to like surprise me? Like, I don't know. I don't like feeling like that, but I think a lot of us, I'm sure Caitlin, if you've talked about it, you know, on your Instagram too, I think it's so relatable. I think, not just for our age, but even our parents, I think were probably having these kinds of feelings and weren't able to even put it together that this is like a thing, you know, or even put their finger on what they were feeling. And on that note, I also worry about our kids, raising our kids in a world where social media is so prominent. And what kind of obstacles, you know, that they'll be up against, and will we be like equipped to help them?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big question. I was talking to Aliza Pressman. She's the host of the Raising the Humans podcast. She's awesome.
She actually speaks at our school, I feel like once or twice a year at our school here.
Oh, yeah.
She's incredible.
Yeah. And I love her. We were talking about the grown-up, like the adult anxiety that we're like experiencing and talking about right now. And also how not to forget that a lot of that stuff that makes us like you anxious is also helping you in other ways. Like it's, you know, a lot of high achieving people or like socially aware people have anxiety because they're like feeling in touch with a lot of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not always like, yes, that's a tough feeling to navigate and go through, but it's also probably helped you in other areas of your life, mm-hmm. right? So you got to take the good with bad.
No, I like that. I like that.
And same for your kids, you know, like who knows what kind of things or challenges they're going to be up against that are going to maybe trigger those feelings, but like that the good and the bad. I'm dealing with some of that stuff with my daughter right now. It's actually just been a really hard week at home with her. Mm-hmm. She recently just told me like she's been feeling sad a lot. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, and she was just like a deep, dark sadness that I don't know why. She's 8 years old. I was like, damn, you know, like, I want to help you. And I, you know, but a lot of what you need to know about this, I think, is that, and we're going to go talk to somebody and get some professional answers or help places. Coping strategies and stuff, but it's like being able to move through that, like being able to pick yourself up. No one else is going to do it for you. Like you have to find it within yourself to pull yourself out of those funks.
I also think that her ability to communicate that to you is pretty incredible. And like that alone, I think is a positive, such a positive thing because so many kids and adults even can feel something and not share it and not communicate it and
not feel safe enough to communicate it, you know,
or I feel like that's scary to hear from your kid, but also promising that she's sharing that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just like, I can't relate to that feeling at all. Like I've never felt actually like a depressed feeling anxious all the time, but depressed. Yeah. No. So it's foreign to me. So I don't really know how to like navigate that as well personally with her. But I was, you know, right away I was like, I'm so proud of you for telling me about this because that's actually really hard to do. Like you're so strong, you know, to be able to put that out there.
Beyond. Yeah. What do you think about cell phones for kids? Like, have you thought ahead to this conversation?
Yeah, I feel like I'm like ready to hop on a movement here. I mean, have you guys been seeing Jonathan Haidt pop up in your feeds or anything? Do you know who that is if I say that name?
No.
So he just wrote a book called The Anxious Generation.
And yes. Like, I just got forwarded that yesterday with all the balls on the cover.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's on a warpath to eliminate, like, or create a new norm around when social media should be allowed and iPhones and such, and like to wait for social media until your kids are 16. And
did you read the book?
I haven't read it. I just received it in the mail the other day, but I'm a big audio book person. Did you read it?
No, but I just ordered it because I just got forwarded it. You're a big what? No book? What'd you say?
I'm a big audio book.
Oh, same. Same.
Actually, I just don't have time to like sit down and read.
No.
But I think like I will 100% be using my platform to talk about my feelings about when and how kids should be able to use phones. And
what are your feelings as of now?
Well, so now I think what my plan of attack would be is that, I mean, like, so my 10-year-old right now has an Apple Watch, and I love that for him because I'm like, you know what, you can go after school and grab a slice of pizza in town and then ride your bike home after that with your buddies and let me know where you are and I can see where you are and you can contact me and text, and that's all you need to be able to do. Like,
agreed.
And so I have another friend who has 5 kids that she has up to a sophomore in high school. And she was saying that I didn't realize this. I was like, why not flip phones? Like, why are people getting iPhones? She said, flip phones, you can't group text on, so you're like left out of a group text if you have a flip phone, which I get that sucks. So you want to be like able to be in the know of like communication of who's going where, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, but you can do that on your Apple Watch. And then if you needed like an actual phone to be able to call people, like, you know how Apple Watches can be finicky with calls.
Yeah.
And then like get them a flip phone in addition to supplement like that if they have to actually make a phone call.
Yeah.
And then save the iPhone for like your 16th birthday. Like, here's your iPhone. You can get media if you want or something.
These kids are making the argument for Snapchat because like otherwise they're left out of plans, and I'm like, oh well, then I guess you're left out of plans.
I know, that's the thing, that's where I feel like that's where the strength in numbers has to come in, like, so that if all these parents will get on board with waiting to allow kids to use those kinds of apps, that
ultimately you are a believer of waiting like as long as you can, ultimately 100%. Till 16-ish.
I mean, look at, like, social media is a hard place for grown-ups, you know?
Yes, so, it's dark. It can be dark.
Yeah. A lot of shit makes us all second-guess if we're doing enough, doing it right, looking right.
Dude, I was getting, like, and you get targeted, like, I don't know why, because, like, I like, as for like whatever reason, you get targeted for like something specific for however long. And it was like hair supplements, hair serums. And then I got like a helmet for hair growth. I'm like, like, why? Like, what is going on? And then like, I look over at my husband's algorithm and it's like food and architecture and like design. I'm like, I'm so soothed by your feed. My feed is like, it's just.
Mine's
like,
stressful.
It's like a cesspool of like, I don't even know. I mean, I don't love it. And then, for I'll go to check something of like my sister's or a friend. And then suddenly I'm just so sucked into like a negative something that just leaves me feeling like empty. I don't know. It is incredibly hard as an adult. And I can't imagine a little mind having, there's just so much nonsense. So I know it's hard. Well, my oldest son is going to be in 7th grade next year. He changes campuses. So it's a big topic of conversation in our house. And I'm nowhere near saying yes, but you know, there's so many arguments being made. And again, you have to align with at least a certain amount of parents so you guys can all kind of stand together, I think.
Like, my plan is to kind of start within my town as my kids are like getting to be those ages, because those are going to be their direct, you know, points of contact, the other kids in our town. So if I can reach like parents locally about that, I'm going to try.
I love it.
But yeah, I've even like, I've been whispering about it here and there on social media over the last couple of weeks. And I wrote about it on like my Soul Snacks, which is my like newsletter. And so many friends have reached out to me like, can we please make this a thing? Like, let's start. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for those conversations.
We'll be championing you. We'll be watching and we'll be on board. We'll be your West Coast Alliance.
Yeah.
Alliances.
This.
Yeah.
Change the world.
Well, we don't want to hold you up. It's been an hour and I'm sure you've got to go. We won't leave you in that room.
That was great.
Thank you for coming on. We're
the biggest fans, seriously.
I'm, yeah. I mean,